From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And when the lightning would strike, it would find the highest point, which would be this lightning rod, and it would strike that and would ground the electricity and save the building and all of the appliances. There's times, there's stuff inside of us that we need to talk about, and we're gonna wanna strike something. You need to find, number two, a lightning rod. Someone who loves Jesus and loves you in that order.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, Pastor Wayne has a message about the tongue, that slippery little thing inside your mouth that most of us have such a hard time controlling. Like a single spark that can set a forest on fire, the tongue can do irreparable harm with a single misspoken word. So, is it possible we can ever tame the tongue? Well, funny you should ask. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Taming the Tongue.
Well, let's take out our notes as we continue in our series called Me and My Big Mouth. You know, I got to tell you a little bit about Elwin. A couple of years ago, we had a wonderful lady, and Nicole C. Mullen came and sang. It was a wonderful concert. And his mind, for some reason, doesn't catch names. So he came up and said, let's have a wonderful hand for Natalie Cole. And everyone's thinking, oh, where is Natalie Cole? And then at the concert, he's praying for Anna Gilbert. You know, he's saying, Lord, thank you for all of these wonderful guest artists. And he couldn't remember Anna's last name. So he said, Lord, thank you for Anna Nicole. And I was thinking, this is the first time I saw people crying in prayer. They're just crying. And I said to Elwin later, I can't take you anywhere. I can't. I got to leave you in the office. Well, it's great to have Anna Gilbert with us and in the past, Nicole C. Mullen. But we all make mistakes with our tongues, don't we? How many of you would agree? You see this thing on my arm? We started with a rubber band. Do you remember that? When you would make a mistake or you'd say something wrong, you'd put it on your left, because the Bible says this. It says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's James 1:19. And then Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So before you go to bed, you got to make it right. Write an email, ask for forgiveness. Then before you go to sleep, your goal is for this to be back on your right hand. And so after the rubber band kind of decomposed, I put one of these on. Actually, I have a gift for you after service today, one for each of you. I actually had a bunch of these made, and it has stamped on here, MMBM, for me and my big mouth. And there's two scriptures on different ones. One will say, James 1:19, be quick to, slow to, and slow to, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And then on some other armbands, it'll say Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, but do not let the sun go down on your anger. So after church, as you go out, I have one of these for you. We just made a bunch of them. But I tell you, this has helped us save my life. My life has really changed since I've been wearing this, because it's like every time I want to say something, hey, honey, you know, it's all right. It's all right. It just really has helped me. I mean, it's transformed my life. Things have been going better. I mean, friends are coming around. I added 3 friends to my Facebook. I tell you, I got a tax refund in the mail. It's like everything's going right. My wife still thinks I'm awesome. It's just wonderful. And so we've got one of these for you as well. And I'm going to ask you to commit with me to a 21-day commitment, 21-day challenge. Because it takes 21 days to what? Develop a habit. So we have one of these for you. We want you to take one out as you go out. And we have them in different colors. So no fashion police will get you. So we have one of these for you as you go out. But this is what we're going to talk about today. It's very important. It's called Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. You know, often we see problems in other people much sooner than we see it in ourselves. Well, they need to watch their mouth. They need to watch what they say. They need to. But I want you to know that this message is for us, okay? So it's not for your neighbor on your left or your right, because often we say, my wife needs to hear this. Honey, you need to listen. Listen to this. You need counseling, not me. So I want everybody to raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. And I want you to say after me, this sermon is for me, not for my neighbor. Good. You can put your hands down. Yeah, because we often see things more sooner than in others than ourselves when we're the problem. It's like the story of this Portuguese policeman. You got time for this, don't you? All right, this Portuguese policeman, he just got enamored with himself. As soon as he puts a uniform on, he just walks around, tells everybody what's wrong with them. And he just loved giving tickets. So he was working a beat, and this lady comes by, zoom, and he turns on his lights and chases her down, pulls her over, walks up to her like this condescendingly and says, I'm going to give you one ticket. Let me see your driver's license. And she's fumbling through her purse, and she's nervous, even more so apprehensive because of his condescending stare, and she can't find anything in her purse. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. He says, what is your name? My name is Mary Souza. Oh, you want Portuguese? It figures. I'm going to give you one ticket. She says, I'm going to give me your license. I cannot find it. What does it look like? He said, it's square. It has your picture on it. She's fumbling through. She finds her mirror. She looks at her mirror. I think this is it. He grabs it, looks at it. Oh, sorry, eh? I'm going to let you off this time. I never know you was one policeman, too. See, often we have the same problems as other people do, but we don't see it. So everybody raise your right hand. This message is for me. Good, you can put your hands down. So this is for us. Let's take a look at the scripture at the top of our notes. We're going to read it out loud with your most robust tenor and alto voices. Let's read it together. Would you go? For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Would you circle the two words, justified and condemned? By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. In other words, Proverbs echoes that sentiment, and it says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. The words that we use and choose, whether it comes out of anger or wisdom, it's going to determine our life, because our words will justify us or condemn us. How many of us have had wonderful relationships built by kind words, then summarily destroyed by angry words? Words. In fact, it's so important. Would you write down in your first bullet, write down, words determines our relationships. It determines our relationships. You know, when you used to go to the doctors, the first thing they would do is they'd get this like a popsicle stick called a tongue depressor. Remember that? And then they'd stick it on your tongue, push it down, and they'd say, say ah, and you and they'd look at your mouth and look at your tongue, because from your mouth and from your tongue, he could determine the general health of your body, just from your tongue and your mouth. Your tonsils, he'd look at all of this area here, and he'd kind of get a general description of the state of your health. And it's almost the same thing with James is saying. By your tongue, you can kind of tell the general health of your marriage, your family, your future, your relationships, your friendships, your commitments right here. In fact, let's read what James says, and you'll see right here, James 3. Would you read it with me? Go. The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. No one can what? Tame the tongue. Well, the Bible says you can't tame the tongue, but you can control it. Before it sets on fire the course of your life. How many of us have seen the potential of our future go up in smoke because of words that we've misused? Words that have come out of our own immaturity, our own anger, our own emotional bias, our own misunderstanding. And once it goes out, bang, it sets a forest aflame. And it takes a while to put it out. And now we have to wait for that relationship to what? Grow back again. It will, but it may take a lifetime. Taming the tongue. How do you do that? Well, not only does it determine our relationships, would you write down number two? It also determines our maturity. Our maturity level. You can be in church for years and years, but you listen to someone's words and how they speak to their spouse or their kids or their friends. It determines your maturity. Let's read what 1 Timothy 4 says. Go. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Would you circle the word speech? Very interesting. The Lord, through Paul's writing to Timothy, puts speech in the same sentence with love, faith, purity. It's that important. Because our words can be healing or our words can be injurious. It could bring wholeness or it can bring pain. It determines our maturity. It's a barometer of our maturity. Anna and I were on our way to Nashville a few weeks ago and to speak there. And our plane got delayed. Our aircraft got somehow messed up. And so the lady, it was a wonderful Hispanic lady, it was a ticket counter lady, came over the microphone and said, all of you on this flight, please come up here. We have to reroute you. Well, there's one lady about 60 years old, was just grumbling in line, grumbling. Stupid airline. She got up to this lady and she starts yelling at her. You know I paid good money for this. You know I paid a lot of money for this. And now I have to miss my connection. She's typing away, what was your name? And let me see if I can get the best connection for you. I'm so sorry. It was a maintenance problem on the plane. She said, you know, I got to get there. She says, yes, I'm going to try to get you the best connection I can. And then she said, she just kept going. She says, shh, let me get, shh. And then the lady just kept going at her. And Anna and I are looking at each other. Uh-oh, we have a volcano about to erupt here. And she kept yelling. And then she finally said, you don't answer me. You're not answering me. Do you know I'm having an anxiety breakdown right now? I'm having an anxiety breakdown. And this lady was so sweet. She said, would you like me to call 911 for you? And I started laughing just like you did. I thought, good for you. She said, you don't understand me. You don't even understand what I'm saying. Is it because you're Mexican? That's why. And the lady was so sweet. She said, I am Hispanic, but I understand you very clearly. And I thought, bless your heart, lady. You need a trophy. And she just kept mouthing off. And I thought, lady, you're 60 years old. You should know better. It's not her fault, but she kept going on. And I thought, man, lady, you better be still because you're going to get a Mexican chalupa right in your burrito. And I looked at that and I thought, you know what? Our words really do determine our maturity. So you say, well, Wayne, I get irate and I use words incorrectly. And I know the Bible says you can't tame the tongue, but can you control it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, how? Let me give you three very simple ways to control your tongue. And all of us can apply these. Would you write down the very first one, the simplest one? Here it is. Real simple. Silence. Silence. Just chill and zip it. Just be quiet. No, I'm not saying be moody. I'm not saying throwing a tantrum or marginalizing somebody by giving them the silent treatment. No, I'm simply saying, as James 1:19 says, let each be quick to, slow to, that's it, and slow to anger. Because if you're slow to speak, you'll be slow to anger. You're quick to speak, you watch how it just gets infectious. And it starts escalating. Silence. Silence. Because if you start speaking, things get going, and then you get angrier and angrier and angrier. Silence. Stop and think before you speak. That's all I'm saying. Just think before you speak. Take a walk. Just take a walk. Go to the bathroom, yell in a pillow if you need to. Scream. Or just at least have the discipline, after you type out that email to that person, just go to sleep, wait till the next day before you push send. Just hang tight. Silence. Let's read what Psalms 39 verse 1 says. Go. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. Yeah, just put a muzzle on. You know how to put on dogs? Put a muzzle on yourself. Take a walk. If you need to go out in the forest and yell at a tree, that's fine. But be still and know that I am God, the Bible says. Because often we're not still and God can't move. The Lord says, just be still and let me move. Be still and let me work. Be still and let me get a reconnect for you. I'll find a good connection. Be still. Otherwise, our tongue can be like a flame that sets the fire to the forest. It can destroy our future, because you, by your words, will be justified, by our words, will be condemned. So the first in taming the tongue, or rather controlling the tongue, is, what was the first one? Silence. Just zip it. And this armband will help you so much, this wristband, to remind you it's better to be quiet. It's better to be still. The second is this. You say, but Wayne, sometimes I just got to talk to somebody. I just got to talk to somebody because I got to work it out. Great. If you need to talk to somebody, in the Midwest, they had a thing called a lightning rod. When lightning would strike, if you didn't have a lightning rod that was grounded, the lightning would strike the building, catch those wires that go into your circuits, and it would actually fry your computers and all your electronics. So they would put up this lightning rod, and when the lightning would strike, it would find the highest point, which would be this lightning rod, and it would strike that and would ground the electricity and save the building and all of the appliances. There's times, there's stuff inside of us that we need to talk about, and we're going to want to strike something. You need to find, number two, a lightning rod. Would you write that in? A lightning rod. Someone preferably older than you are, someone or at least your same age or around your age, guys with guys, girls with girls, someone who loves Jesus and loves you in that order. Someone who loves Jesus and someone who loves you in that order. And when you actually indicate and identify a lightning rod, this person will become one of your greatest assets. That person will become one of the dearest friends. Or you might not buddy-buddy around with them, but I tell you, when you need to talk to somebody, they will give you great wisdom. I had one man, he was older than I was, and his name was Larry Chapman. And whenever I'd get upset, because I was in youth ministry and doing all kinds of things, I'd get upset, I'd call up and I'd say, Larry, I need to talk with you. I can't believe this person did this. And he would just say to me very calmly, Wayne, come over, let's have some soup. What? Soup. You need some soup. I don't need some soup, I need answers. No, come over, have some soup. And I remember going to his house and he'd be always making soup. Maybe he drugged it, I don't know, but he'd feed me some, and I would settle down, because he knew that no one can be rational unless they settle their hearts a little. And then I would pour out my heart to him, and he'd give me the greatest wisdom and insight so that I can resolve things in a way that would delight God, build character, and save people from getting fried. Find the lightning rod. You'll need to identify someone, and that one will become a friend to you. There's an old Arabian proverb, but it says this: a friend is one with whom you can pour out all the contents of your heart, chaff and grain together, knowing that the gentlest of hands will take it and sift it. Keep what is worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away. A friend. Proverbs talks about this kind of lightning rod friend. Let's read it together in Proverbs 18:24. Go. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Each of us, can I encourage you? Please identify someone who you will allow to speak into your life. There needs to be one person that you have given permission to speak into your life. Could be a discipler, a pastor, someone overseeing a group with you that you're involved in, but someone needs to be able to speak, have the allowance to speak into your life. It'll be one of the best things, best decisions that you'll ever make. You need to identify that one. Identify it. Now, for some of you, it may be your spouse, but for some it isn't. Like for me, it's not my wife, Anna. I still share with her, but I process it first and then share with my wife sort of from the victory side rather from the struggle side. Because my wife just loves me so much. And if anybody like offends me or says something, she's only like this small. She's 3'2". But she turns into this Tony the Tiger. She just said, let me at him, honey. I said, no, stay back. Just go on back home. So my wife is just so sensitive to that. So I kind of am careful. I remember in Hilo, I had a board member that was very offensive. He was the most cantankerous guy that you've ever met. And very just vitriolic in every way. His words were always cutting and had an edge and a barb to it. Well, I came home from one board meeting and I said to my wife, man, I want to quit this church. She said, what? I want to quit. I'm just so tired of this guy. If I say it's black, he says it's white. If I say it's white, he says it's black. It's just terrible. I just can't get anything done. I'm just tired. She said, well, you're kidding. Yeah, I said, he's terrible. She said, I know, he must be terrible. I said, he's just a cantankerous person. She said, yeah, he's demon possessed. Yeah, and we just started escalating like this. And this little wife turned into Tyrannus Rex, you know, one of those dinosaurs. Just went after her. And I thought, whoa, what's becoming of her? So my wife is, let me at him, honey. No, leave. Well, the next day I'm in the office and this guy calls me. Hey, Wayne, I'm so sorry. Last night, oh man, my head was so far out. I don't know what I was thinking. I just said some things that were so wrong. Oh, I said, no problem, Elwin. It's fine. And, well, that next Sunday, my wife and I were standing in the church, and this board member came by, and I saw my wife look at him. I looked at her. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, that's the guy that spoke bad about you. I said, oh, honey, no. He called the following day and apologized. Everything's fine. She looked at me and she said, you didn't tell me? Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you. She looked back at me and went, sss. You have to be careful. So I kind of protect my wife from certain things. I work it out and then I come to her and say, honey, you know what this guy did? And let me tell you how God resolved it. Oh, great. And so she's still in the loop on what's happening in my life. But I kind of watch out. For some of you, your spouse may not be your primary lightning rod. Share with your spouse, but maybe more so from the victory side. And find someone that you can speak to so that you can pour out the chaff and the grain together. And with gentleness of hands, that one will sift the two, keep what's worth keeping, and blow the rest away. Then he or she will say, work with this. Lightning rod. It'll help you to control, maybe not tame, but control the tongue.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Taming the Tongue by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.